You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today are Corey Bailey and Pamela Johnson. And Corey and Pamela, we're going to talk about an exciting event that actually takes place later this afternoon, the 11th Annual Gospel Explosion. And Corey and Pamela are here to talk with us. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's great.
So let's talk a little bit, first of all, with you, Corey. You are the Director of Student Engagement and Leadership Center here on campus, but obviously you wear many hats like the rest of us, and one of those hats involves what's happening later today, and that's the Gospel Explosion. We mentioned that's the 11th annual, so if you wouldn't mind sharing with us whatever you might know about how this all started and what's being planned for later today.
Yeah, thank you again for allowing me to be here with you.
You're welcome.
So as far as we know, the program Gospel Explosion came to be around 2006, 2007 as a result of some desires to host an event during Black History Month. It was under a different department name, the Student Development Center at the time. But it was definitely something where students and staff at the time really felt it'd be important to host a program that really shines the light on the importance of gospel music within the Black community and in America in general. And so over time, it evolved into a program where the African American Studies Department actually took it over for about 4 years under the leadership of Dr. Macy O.C. Daly, who we all know is recently passed on. And so since his passing, yeah, he definitely was a great man. Since his passing, a number of us came together and said, we want to keep this program going. And so in essence, my department readopted it, but we definitely make sure it maintains its collaborative spirit. So the University Career Center lends its resources to it, as does the police department and the Black Student Union. And so we all came together to honor Dr. Daly last year and make sure that the program was still hosted, and we decided we wanted to keep it going. So this year we're focusing a lot more on the spirit of gospel and what it means, and making sure to include a mix of staff, students, and community members in the program itself. And so it's a blending of music, poetry, dance, and just an overall celebration of the gospel music and its importance in our community.
We have with us also Pam Johnson, and Pam has also been one of our students here at KTEP, and she is working with Corey with this event. And Pam, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in all this.
I sure will. But first, Mr. Sines, I have to let you know, because my mother will be listening, you have to call me Pamela. Because she said to me once, when some of my little dance students were saying, Miss Pam, Miss Pam, she came to visit me in Dallas. And she said, why are they calling you Pam? Your father and I did not name you Pam. It's Pamela. I have to say that every time now.
Okay, Davey, you heard that.
Well, my family knew Dr. Daly and his wife, apparently. I was out of town pursuing my career, so I hadn't met him. When I got back on campus, I knew him immediately when I saw him, and one day I introduced myself to him, and everyone said, you've got to take his class, and I said, well, I already feel like I must. So I was lucky enough to have taken his last African American Studies course in the summer of 15. He told me then that I needed to get involved with the Gospel Explosion, so my name had been passed on through Dr. Selfa Chu, and I did. So last year was my first, this is my second, and I feel an obligation but an honor to help bring this about.
If I could just jump in, I think it's important to also, like she already did, give credit to Dr. Selfa Chu, because when Dr. Daly passed away, a lot of the load that came with what he was doing landed on her shoulders.
Yes.
And she was a great contributor last year to this program. This year, with Dr. Michael Williams coming in and taking over the department, she's less involved in that, in the planning of it. But Dr. Chu, and I'm glad you said that, Pamela, because I really believe that Dr. Chu does deserve a lot of credit for helping us make this program what it is today. We put a lot of effort into building the program out last year and making sure to add as many students as we could to the planning committee because they will know better than many of us kind of what would cater to the student body. But it also brought new ideas. And so that's where the spoken word poetry came in. That was actually Dr. Chu's influence. And so, I just wanted to say that. I think it's really important. What I forgot to mention in my opening was that, you know, we definitely got to remind everyone when it is and where it's going to be. So it's going to be later this afternoon at 6 p.m. in the Fox Fine Arts Recital Hall. And so if you want to park, the best place to park would actually be the Sumbo Garage. And if you just walk through Minor Alley up to the Fox Fine Arts building, you'll see signage to drive you to the door, and it's free of charge.
In the past, Corey, I know that my wife and I attended one, and there were a lot of young people, and I saw a lot of buses, so it seemed like they came in from out of town a lot. When they come in to witness this later today, give us an example of what they can hear. Do you have a lineup or what anything that they can be looking forward to?
Yeah, definitely. We have a number of people who are part of it that would be performing. And so, for example, we have a set of churches that are a part of the event. One is the Destiny Family Christian Center. This will be their second year in the program, and they're kind of the opening act for this night. And we also have a collection of churches that fall under the title of the El Paso Community Choir, and they actually anchor the night. In between the choirs, we will have Pamela, along with Jeremiah Clark, Ashley Clark, who will be performing a dance routine. We have Dr. Michelle Johnson, who will be one of our spoken word artists. We will also have a lady by the name of Nancy Green, who will provide some spoken word as well. Additional dancers will be Kelvin Alexander II and Akili Alexander. They're a duo. And we will have a soloist, Christina Gallegos, and then another dance troupe, LaVon Carr Farmer and Christiana Carr.
Sometimes people will say, and it applies to different genres or whatever. Some people say, well, I don't like to read, or I don't like to read these kind of books. I don't like to listen to this kind of music. And so sometimes when you mention gospel music, a lot of people have perhaps a different perspective on it, and it depends on your frame of reference. Some people say, well, you know, gospel music is something I grew up in the church with. You have the choir robes, but it has changed so much, Corey, that people will be listening to something and they won't realize that it's gospel music and they love it.
Exactly.
And it's awesome.
Yes, I totally agree. It is definitely, it's evolved from the traditional robes and clothing that you would see on the altar of a church and community across America. My church, Destiny Family Christian Center, when you look at the stage or the altar and you see the choir, you know, they're dressed in all types of colors and attire. You know, they do a lot to modernize the look, which comes with modernizing the music. I mean, speaking to this generation in a different way. It's just like anything, you know, you got to, you know, kind of cater. Not so much cater, but you got to evolve. You know, some you know, a lot of the songs that date back years and even centuries in terms of in the gospel music world still are around. You know, things haven't changed. They have influenced what is being shared today. And so what this show will do, it will actually kind of exhibit that. You know, we will have some of the old school songs and some of the new school songs and flavor and just mix it up as best we can to cater to all that will be there.
And if someone has never been to a concert like this or to a charismatic or African-American church, you can't walk in there and not be still.
Right. No, there's going to be a lot of standing, put it that way. You know, there'll be moments where maybe you are sitting and you're watching a dance routine. But if last year's any example, from the moment we get the first choir up there, they're going to be asking people to stand up and clap hands and, you know, speak to their neighbor. And to a certain degree, you are in church again. It's just in a non-church venue, you know. But, you know, we won't have the traditional pastor who will come up and give the word of the day and things like that. But from the musical end of things and the performances that come with the current church experience, you're going to get a lot of that. And it'll be a night of joy.
Were you introduced to gospel music at a very early age? Can you tell us a little bit about your experience?
That would have to be no. I'm actually Roman Catholic.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean, you know, my parents grew up with gospel music as an experience. And so, obviously, the two genres are very different. I really came into, yes, an introduction to gospel music very deeply when I was dancing with Dallas Black Dance Theater, because several of the numbers were rooted in gospel music, and they still stay with me. Of course, I have friends and, you know, the family members, you know, I would experiment and go to other churches. So that's how gospel music came into my life.
And Corey, I'm sure some people are very aware of this, but and some may be surprised at the fact that a lot of the popular singers that we hear and have their CDs, have their records, MP3s, whatever, they got their start in gospel music.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I mean, you know, gospel music influences life in many, many different ways, and most definitely in music. You hear that a lot from certain artists about, you know, I started singing in my church choir. I believe Jennifer Hudson is one of those people, and many, many others. She just comes to mind. You know, my exposure to gospel music started in early teenage years. I grew up in the Catholic Church, was an altar boy, did all those things. And then my mother made a decision for both of us to try something new. And so we moved to an evangelical church. I'm from New York, and so I grew up in Long Island, and we went to a church out in Queens that was in a black neighborhood out there. And so that was my introduction. And it was different for me. And I just remember early on, it just stuck with me. You know, when you listen to the lyrics, you listen to, or if you watch the performances, it really overtakes you if you allow yourself to be open to it. And for periods in my life, it has provided me the salvation and the support that I've needed to get through. My wife is the same way. She grew up in the church and moved around and went to different churches. But she enjoys most definitely this form of music more than any other type.
And just like gospel music has evolved, as we were discussing earlier, and Pam mentioned that she attends a Catholic church, the music in all denominations, including the Catholic Church, has changed dramatically. It's no longer the traditional organ music or piano. Yeah, they're there, but all of a sudden you hear a drum beat, you hear an electric guitar, you hear something else, and it changes.
Yeah, it definitely does. And that's partly because, you know, it's like everything, things evolve. And you know, younger generations become the older generations, and they want to bring some of their flair and flavor into this type of venue, like the church venue, and mix it up a bit. I mean, there's definitely nothing wrong with the organs and the older form of gospel music or any form of music in the church. But if you want to cater to the younger crowd, you gotta meet them where they are and give them an opportunity to bring their style of music in and let them express themselves through that form.
And we were talking about singers earlier, popular singers, and I think it's ironic that Elvis Presley, the, quote, king of rock and roll, never won a Grammy for his rock music but won it for gospel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just like many things, it's a form of music that has definitely become much more popular, but I don't know if necessarily it's fully hit mainstream. Like you said before, you know, a lot of artists have their start in a church around this form of music. But unfortunately, the popular culture doesn't always appreciate the music to the extent that maybe we do other forms of music. So,
you mentioned earlier the fact that you're from New York, and so we have a lot of people who live here from other parts of the country, and especially because Fort Bliss is here, we have a lot of soldiers and their families. And I know someone had mentioned before from attending one of these Gospel Explosion concerts that even though their loved one was deployed, they felt like a family being among all these people and hearing this music, it you know, gave them comfort.
Yeah, it's good to hear. I mean, yeah, we definitely tried to do that in our own way. My church definitely has a number of people who are either currently in the military or have since moved on from that life. And it's helpful that we can create these experiences here for them because, like me, my entire family lives on the East Coast or out of the country. And so, you know, I have to find that community for myself. And I'm able to do that through Destiny. And I'm sure others can say the same for the churches they go to. So, you know, this event, you know, it's one night, it's a couple hours coming together. You know, we're not necessarily going to leave best friends, but we hopefully will have a moment where we are community.
We were discussing in the fact that, you know, most people know that February is Black History Month, and gospel music, as you mentioned, Corey, earlier, has its roots very much embedded in Black history, and the fact that these were the very songs that got some of the slaves through some difficult trials.
Yes, that is definitely true, and one can say it to this very day, it does that for people now. It's been a source of survival. It's been inspiration to get through some really challenging moments in life. And, you know, when you look and you research Black history, you cannot miss gospel music. It's there. It's everywhere. It's discussed in a lot of different forums as it relates to the history of Black people in this country and even beyond. And so, you know, it's an honor to be able to build on that and provide a program of this nature that pays tribute to what this form of music has done for the community and meant to the community for so long.
Would you mind sharing with us, perhaps, if you can, what are the differences or are there any differences between, you know, sometimes people, we talk about history and they're reading, perhaps have an assignment for Black History Month, but what is the difference of Negro spiritual and gospel music? I would think that the Negro spirituals were something that, as we mentioned earlier, they would sing on the fields and without music, and this was kind of like almost ad lib in a way.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely not a historian, but from what I know, you know, I think they're not one and the same, but they're very close. Because, yeah, in some senses, you know, you didn't necessarily have musical instruments that went along with the words, but the message behind the words, the praise of God and Jesus Christ and all that stuff was all there, you know. So, like I said, I'm not necessarily an expert in that particular area, but I do know there's a whole lot of similarity between the two.
You know, gospel music is an evolution from the early Negro spirituals. And to what you were saying a little earlier, Corey, about survival within, it's documented within certain Negro spirituals, hidden messages were given mm-hmm. about when and where and who to meet and what's going to happen or not. So the history is very deep with that.
Sometimes we'll talk about, you know, parents who will say, well, you can't listen to that song because it has a hidden message, whatever. And the fact that, yes, they did this for the Underground Railroad, all these other things, it's just fascinating. And when you go back and listen to this and read some of the history, I mean, it's just, I'm glad you mentioned that.
And, you know, I want to say last weekend I caught CeCe Winans on PBS in Austin, Austin City Limits. Mm-hmm. And the audience was so diverse. And it was just really great to see that.
Yeah.
And Austin's known for that. Austin's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been remarkable to see. Like, so years ago when I was living on the East Coast and I was going to church, predominantly Black church, you didn't see many other type, you know, many other backgrounds of folks. You go to my church now, again, it's Destiny. I mean, you see all types of people from all walks of life and engaging and not just the service, but in the music and embracing it. And it's been a beautiful evolution to see.
And as Pam mentioned earlier, some of these Negro spirituals were also identified as work songs. And this is something that, you know, we hear the song, I've Been Working on the Railroad, but these were much deeper than that because, as you mentioned, Corey, the people, when they were out there, whether it be picking cotton or doing other types of hard labor, these words somehow inspired them to carry on and make it through the end of the day, or sometimes even, you know, singing to the children at night.
And like I was saying before, I mean, the same could be said today. You know, people struggle with many, many different things. It's remarkable to see when you go through a church service, you know, how many people release emotion. It's the music. It gets in you. It gets in your soul, and it brings it out, and it helps you, you know, start to think of ways to overcome. My wife wakes up every morning, turns on her phone, Pandora, and clicks on a gospel station, and that's the way she likes to start her day, which I appreciate. I'm a big sports fan, so I listen to other things sometimes, but nevertheless, it's sometimes really good to hear someone like Marvin Sapp come on the radio and sing a song that really speaks to you in the moment and gives you inspiration to just, you know, have a successful day. It's not always necessarily tied to I'm struggling, I'm going through bad things. It could be, you know, I just need this uplifting feeling to have a bright and productive day and evening.
And coming together, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, how has this helped you as a student not only just fulfill your, you know, obligation or whatever for school, but the fact that you're getting to work with other people, not just students, but the community in general?
Wow. I really treasure it because I had heaped such a load on myself as far as academics to get through my first degree, and I just finished my second, and really no time for anything else. And so last year I finally joined BSU, the Black Student Union. Been meaning to do it for about 4 years, but really didn't feel I had the time, and I did. I made the time last semester. So that was really good. Getting, like you said, networking with other people. We're talking about ideas and things that would bring us together for the gospel explosion. You know, commiserating and also, you know, the joyous moments. And I always try to do something community-based. So I'm bringing in teenagers, you know, and we invited Miss Nancy Green. For those that don't know her work, I mean, I'm just mesmerized by her. I know you know her. She's an Afro-Chicana, born and raised here in El Paso and Juarez. And so she's got a fabulous perspective on life and culture. And it comes through her poetry and her spoken word. And she plays the flute, and it's just mesmerizing. It makes you reflect. It's sometimes melancholy. It's just beautiful. It's got strains of Native American, Peruvian. So she brings to her poetry, she's got one entitled Rage, and there's Freedom Song. So her good word, gospel, is coming in a different way, but it's all good. It's all for the same purpose.
Cordy, did you want to add something?
No, she covered it very well.
as far as, you know, you mentioned high school students. And so are you talking about getting high school students involved in helping you put this together, attending it, or being part of the choirs?
More the performance. Okay. More the performance end of it. The students that we elicit to be a part of the committees are from the Black Student Union primarily. But, you know, I'm glad that Pam and actually someone else from the committee has also brought in a high school student. Extending the opportunity to them will bring their friends in, hopefully, and, you know, help us continue to build out this crowd. And we don't want it to just be UTEP students or community members. We want it to be El Paso. So we will continue to build on that. So definitely credit to Pamela and Mac McCleary, who actually is the other person that is bringing in some folks. And he has a very strong community connection as well.
Tell us a little bit about reaching out to the community and getting these people to perform. Was that a difficult task? And I'm sure that, you know, they would all say yes, but I think one of the most difficult tasks would be how to narrow it down and to keep it to 2 hours or a little bit more.
I don't know. You know, when we come together as a planning committee and we're talking, you think of people that, mm-hmm. you know, would be a good fit. So from working with this young lady, Ashley Clark, who I know from, she was a contestant in Miss Black El Paso last year. So I had set a dance on her. So now I know her grandmother, Miss Demita Clark. And she and her brother, Jeremiah, they do things together throughout the community. So I'm thinking, these are two people who are used to being on stage, you know, and I know them personally now. They're from Mount Zion. So you see, we're getting everybody involved here. Yeah. So it just made sense. And they're teenagers. So to bring a different perspective.
That's always been, from what I understand of the planning for this event, because this will be my second year on the planning end of it. That was Dr. Daly's approach from the time he took it over. And I can presume it was the approach prior to him when former members of my office were planning this. I mean, you got to use your resources. And your question about was it hard to narrow it down? Not so much. I mean, I think we were able to tap into some that helped us last year and make room for a few others. You know, we don't want this program to go necessarily all night. So, you know, you do have to condense it. But I think as we continue to evolve as a planning team and put our heads together each year, we may face a time when we have just too many acts at one point, and so condensing it. But right now we have just enough, which is good. You know, our personal connections make this work, which we're really fortunate in that respect. If I could just give some credit to additional members of the committee, I think it's important. Dr. Mike Williams, we mentioned him before. He's been phenomenal. I'm proud to be able to call him a colleague and have forged what I hope is a good relationship, and I think he'd say the same. And so he's come right in and found his way. So he'll be our MC for the night, kind of moving us through the program, putting his touch on things, and he's a remarkable individual. So I encourage people to just come see him, if anything. Mac McCleary, I mentioned him earlier. He definitely has done a lot of work to make sure the El Paso Community Choir and this other group that we call the Quartet were part of the event this year and even last. Craig Thompson from the University Career Center. This is not part of his day-to-day work responsibilities, but he's done a great job. Credit to Pamela as well. She's stuck with it since last year and came back this year. And Haley Lecker, who actually works in my office as a undergraduate student, she's our graphic design intern. So she put together all the promotional materials that you may have seen around campus and hopefully on the I-10 marquee. And there's a few other folks, Shyla Cooks from the Black Student Union, Anton Robinson, he's also from the Black Student Union. They lent their ideas really early on in the process. And so I'm really, really happy that we were in a lot of ways able to maintain a relationship with the Black Student Union through this program. And, you know, I think that right there covers it. I mean, I can't forget the Fox Foreign Arts staff, Steve Haddad and his team. They're definitely the make this thing happen from behind the scenes through the technical support and stuff.
So. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Corey Bailey and Pamela Johnson talking about the 11th Annual Gospel Explosion. That will be taking place later today at the Fox Fine Arts Center. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. and the program starts at 6 p.m. Again, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sines.